Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The centuries and often millennia-old food traditions of Mexican and indigenous peoples were not preserved for posterity. The traditions were passed down from generation to generation. Some argue that we carry the food traditions in our blood. Connecting with the land overpowers centuries of colonial influence. The University of Texas at San Antonio Library's Special Collections and Texas Tech University Press have partnered to highlight indigenous foodways in a new book series. We're talking today with Steph Knoll, Special Collections Librarian at UTSA, and with chef, writer, and filmmaker Adan Medrano. Medrano was selected as the editor of the Indigenous Foodways book series. The roots of the new series grew from the extensive Mexican cookbook collection at UTSA Special Collections. It's the largest of its kind in the U.S. Steph Knoll explains the breadth and importance of this collection and how it inspired the new collaboration.
The Mexican cookbook collection at UTSA started almost 25 years ago in 2000 with a collection that we received from a local librarian, Laurie Gruenbeck. And it was a collection of about 500 cookbooks, all Mexican cookbooks. And from that, we have grown it to a collection of over 2,500, dating back to 1789, including many of the earliest examples of published cookbooks in Mexico, as well as around 100 manuscript cookbooks, so handwritten home recipe books. They span the entire range of Mexico, so every state is represented. And we also have many cookbooks in our community cookbook collection. We have around 300 community cookbooks that document Texas food recipes.
And I know that your collection grew quite a bit when Diana Kennedy donated her collection of cookbooks to the library.
Indeed. In 2019, we received our initial donation from Diana of her research papers. We also acquired her 19th century cookbooks. So again, these are the earliest published cookbooks available in Mexico. And then over the last few years, we have completed her research collection, as well as we've received the rest of her research library. So that is in process right now. We are currently cataloging all of her cookbooks from her research library. So that is going to be a massive addition to our collection as well, because I think it was around 20 boxes of books.
And each box contains...
Oh, everything.
just to get a scope.
Yeah, books that are specifically focused on ingredients or regions. And her research papers also have a lot of regional focus. She traveled all around Mexico documenting regional cuisines. So between the cookbook collection and her research papers, there is a lot of emphasis on regional cuisines.
Well, what I think is really amazing that so much of the history of Mexican cooking has been documented, since so many recipes, just like oral histories, they are passed down orally. And the fact that there is written evidence is, it's always a treasure to be able to get your hands on. And so, Steph, how did this grow from a Mexican cookbook collection to expand to include indigenous foodways?
I think it's unavoidable, because so much of the indigenous traditions of this region are documented through the cuisine. So even though there is a lot of European influence, especially when you're looking at different classes, the upper classes tended to focus more on European cuisine. Folks who don't necessarily have the means focused a lot more on local ingredients and cuisines. So it depends. But I think every cookbook we have has these throughways of indigenous traditions, because, you know, you can't make a tamal without it being a reference to traditions that go back thousands of years. I think that every one of our cookbooks has this representation of indigenous traditions. But then we also do have cookbooks that focus on specifically indigenous traditions. There's a great cookbook series on indigenous cooking that I think they have over 100 books in that series, Cocina Indígena. One of my goals in managing the cookbook collection has been to fill our gaps with that series to make sure that we have every single volume, because they focus on every single indigenous group within Mexico. So every volume is just so rich.
And so, Adán, you will be the book series editor for this resulting series of books. And you yourself, you're a champion of indigenous cooking, of what is called Texas Mexican cooking, not Tex-Mex. Can you give us a little bit of your background and how you have drawn from those indigenous traditions?
I am a Coahuiltecan descendant. My mother told me, and my nieces and nephews, it is Coahuiltecan. Many of the recipes that she used were indigenous. What I mean by indigenous is that every time that she cooked, it was a palate that was not European, even though there were some ingredients. The flavors are indigenous. For example, eggs, bacon, flour, wheat. If you have those in Spain, or if you have those in France, they will taste a certain way. But if you have them here in San Antonio, where my mother cooked them, they taste Mexican. They taste Texas Mexican. If you have those in Oaxaca, they're going to taste Oaxaca Mexican, because those cooks are going to put their spin on it. So you have Oaxaca Mexican, Puebla Mexican, and Texas Mexican. Our food here in San Antonio, South Texas, and northeastern Mexico is another regional expression of Mexican gastronomy. There is not just one Mexican cuisine uniformly. There are many regional indigenous expressions of the larger Mexican gastronomy. So we celebrate Oaxaca Mexican food, Puebla Mexican food, and Texas Mexican food. Ours is another indigenous expression of Mexican gastronomy, because San Antonio was in communication with Mesoamerica and Mexico City. Archaeology has dug up artifacts that go back to Mexico City 2,000 years ago. We were traveling. They would come here for salt in the Rio Grande Valley and other places. So this series is going to delve into that, and it's the first time that something like that happens in the United States and in Mexico.
Adán, Mexican cooking and indigenous cooking, they share a lot of ingredients and a lot of techniques. How do you find the separation and the distinction between the two?
There's a big debate about authenticity. There's a lot of talk also about fusion. The book series is called Indigenous Foodways of Texas and Northern Mexico. So we go all the way from Brownsville to El Paso. The cookbook series will address those two issues. First, fusion, saying all food has always been fusion. The goats, cabritos of Monterrey, Nuevo León, came from Iran. The sandia we have as a Mexican, Texas Mexican raspas, come from Africa. Food has always been fusion. That's the way people deal with one another, by sharing food, and it changes. The second thing is the authenticity. Authenticity is a luxury that some rich people have, to be authentic and have the right ingredients. To me, authenticity is important only when it preserves our memories. When my mother had made flour tortillas, but she also made biscuits that she learned from one of the women wives, because we used to pick cotton and work on farms, and she would go and make friends with, and she learned how to make biscuits with jelly with them, and that was delicious as well. This becomes her food as well. And so our Texas Mexican food, when I say it's an indigenous expression of the larger gastronomy, our Mexican food is the way that women and families who are native to Texas and northern Mexico interacted with all the cultures who came. And we created, out of all of those, we invited them to join. A lot of that was through suffering. But we created our own identity. So if you look at a food, it is a way that cooks position differences in ways that are dynamic. And that's a description of our food, and that is a description of our people. Ultimately, it's how democracy works.
So it's indigenous if indigenous people are doing it.
That's it, isn't it? Yes, I was saying earlier, the same ingredients, chorizo, cinnamon, and vinegar in Spain with a Spanish palate will taste so different from the indigenous palate of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Indigenous peoples have for a very long time, fought being erased. And their cultures have lived on. And a lot of times, again, these recipes, these traditions, they're carried forward orally. Do a lot of cookbooks exist, or maybe not cookbooks, but just written evidence of certain recipes being carried forward that could be related to this particular collection?
That's a great question. How do you shift from the memories and the practice of cooking that happens in secret in the interior intimacy of the cocina of the home? There were times in Texas where the state of Texas, first of all, they erased us, and second, there was a project of killing us. You had to hide indigeneity, otherwise you would be killed. In my second book, I document how in Austin, for example, you can see letters to the editor and editorials saying the only way to get rid of the Mexican Mexicanos, and they called us Mexicanos by then, is to kill the buffalo, because if you kill the buffalo, we will kill the Mexicans. And they were saying this out in public in the Austin press. So I document that. So many times we didn't want to write them down because then we would be targets. Mm-hmm. But it lived on. It lived on as a practice. And I always say in the movie that it was women cooking in the intimacy of the homes that sustained our memory. And that was the cultural way of cultural resistance against colonization, by eating, preparing this food. It kept us in touch with our memory because of the ingredients, because of the recipes that were handed down, and identity, because they were unique to us. They were a unique expression of who we are as Chicanos, as Mexicanos. We were Coahuiltecos, Lipan Apache, Carancawas, but in 1837, the state of Texas promulgated a statement. It was the Texas Committee on Indian Affairs in 1837 delivered a report to then President Sam Houston, and it said very clearly, your committee, President, considers the Lipan, Tankawa, Carancawa no longer as a separate people. They are to be considered as Mexicans, part of the Mexican Republic. They are no longer a separate people. So our indigenous identity from this land has been erased by state decree. What we want to do with this collection is not just stop that. That erasure hurt everybody. And I think by countering that, everybody gets to enjoy our food, not just our community. Our community wants to share it. When you share beautiful food, people come together. I think the world becomes more beautiful. The relationships become more beautiful. That's the point of this series. We are partnering to bring for the first time the voice of the cooks of South Texas and northeastern Mexico. We hear a lot about Oaxaca, Yucatan, but no one has ever shed the spotlight on the food of this region that has kept us cooking really beautiful food. So we have a lot of wonderful books that we're going to be coming out with.
Adán Medrano is a chef, author, and filmmaker. His book, Truly Texas Mexican, was made into an award-winning documentary of the same name in 2021. The film explores the indigenous roots of Texas Mexican food. Medrano is the editor of the new book series, Indigenous Foodways of South Texas and Northern Mexico. Steph Knoll is a librarian with the University of Texas at San Antonio Libraries Special Collections. When we come back, the new book series will feature stories and cuisines from peoples whose histories are misunderstood.
Our ancestors, the Coahuiltecos, the Tapilam and others, they have their own language. We have our own culture. We have our own ingredients, and they've been alive.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Texas Tech University Press is collaborating with the University of Texas at San Antonio Libraries Special Collections to publish a series of books highlighting the indigenous foodways of South Texas and Northern Mexico. It's being edited by writer, chef, and filmmaker Adán Medrano, who joins us today. UTSA Special Collections already has an expansive Mexican cookbook collection that lays the groundwork for the Indigenous Foodway series. UTSA Special Collections librarian Steph Knoll says the cookbook collection and the forthcoming series are already receiving attention from researchers and the public alike.
So we have already received around a half dozen researcher requests to come in and look at the cookbooks focusing on the Texas-Mexico border, northern Mexico and southern Texas. And I love researchers that come in with specific ingredients in mind, because then we can really get into the weeds with the cookbook collection. If they're wanting to look at, speaking of weeds, you know, local, you know, native plants.
Which we think of weeds, which are not.
Yes, exactly. yes, often the things that we think are pests or weeds, you know.
And they become delicious.
Yes.
Poor people taking what's left over. We used to do that. Quelitre. We call it quelitre. It's a specific word in southern Mexico. It's quelites. It's greens, any type of greens. But here, quelitre is a specific type of amaranth. And I used to go with my mom when we were picking cotton and we didn't have mustard greens or anything. I would accompany her and we would go out into the byways and pick amaranth. And then she would make a beautiful guisado with it. We have all of those things. And our food is becoming more and more delicious. I don't know if you will have any memories of this or experience of this, Steph. People coming in and realizing that our Texas Mexican food, Norteño Mexico and Southern Texas, is beginning to get even more influential in places. I was at the Four Seasons Hotel in Mexico City. The chef came out and served me flour tortillas. Unheard of in Mexico 5 years ago. Flour tortillas, prominently displayed. And then I went to one of the top restaurants in Mexico City. Two food writers took me there. And for the dessert, they served a candy called Glorias. In Mexico City, this is a candy that was invented by two cooks in Linares, Nuevo León. It's our candy. It's very famous now, Glorias. And here, all these Norteño, Texas-Mexican food, making a big splash in Mexico City in fine dining. So I think we're on the right track to attract more writers.
And so I understand that this is going to be a book series that it's not just going to be for scholars, it's also going to be available for the general public. So do you have an idea right now? It's sort of still a premature phase, but what exactly you're planning for this series? Do you have sort of any dreams of what may develop?
We do. When we announced the series in March, we issued also a fact sheet about what we are going to do. And the books will deal with the foodways of South Texas and northern Mexico. They say El Norte, we say the South. It depends on where you are. And these are the voices of cooks and researchers and academics who are studying gender roles, the fact that women are responsible for the flavor profiles of Mexican cuisine, but have not had their turn at the publisher to speak their mind about women's rights. We're going to do queer and gender phases up to this. There's a student in Dallas. He's just finishing his doctoral thesis, documenting how queer people, men and women, LGBTQ plus, have been so important in the development of our food, but staying in the shadows. And he's documenting this, and it's going to be a delicious book. But we also want it to be very, very useful for cooks. So we have three books already about finished, because we've been working with authors for a while. One of them, I'll just say in general, it'll be the seminal work documenting the Coahuiltecan people of South Texas and northeastern Mexico from prehistoric times. The caves, they found pictures in caves of food. What food did they use? How did they catch them? Some of them would see the ducks over on the lake far away, and what they would do is they would take an old duck carving. This actually worked. They would hold their breath for the 2 minutes it took there, and they would put this duck carving, wood carving, on their heads, and they would swim underground very slowly, and the ducks were there. They would grab the duck by the feet, grab it down so that it couldn't quack and warn the others, and they would hold it there until that's how they hunted the ducks. It's wonderful. All of these stories about our people that have never been told. And another one is a cocinera from South Texas, Weslaco, who is an amazing cook, and she's going to do a recipe of South Texas cooking. She's calling it comida casera.
This is what I love about when we talk about food here in this region or even anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. It's not just about the ingredients. It's not about the final dish. It's about the people who make that dish. It's about the history of the people who make that dish. It's about the culture of the people who make that dish. It's always a much deeper story behind just food.
One of the things with our recipe books, our handwritten, our manuscript cookbooks, they will include a lot of personalized material. So we refer to them as marginalia. And so
just the scribbles that you make.
Yeah, so you'll find drawings of what the dish should look like when it's done. There's also fashion illustration in some of them, which I love. I love seeing what these women were dreaming up for themselves, not just in their cooking, but also in their day-to-day lives. So, yeah, there's always a very personal element to those handwritten cookbooks that I adore.
And so, you know, when you're thinking about cookbooks, usually you are looking at, you know, a third of a teaspoon of this, 5 cups of this, or, you know, 2 cups of that. But those of us who grew up in, you know, a Mexican-American household, it's un poquito this, mm-hmm. a little bit of that, you know. How much is that, Grandma? Well, it's just what it is, you know, mm-hmm. as long as it tastes good. So I'm assuming a lot of these recipes that are in these indigenous cookbooks and in these Mexican cookbook recipes, I'm assuming there's a lot of general measurements when it comes to this. Oh, not that much specificity.
Yes, especially pre the modernization of the kitchen. So before everyone has, you know, measuring cups, weights, all of the standardization across the kitchen, you would see, un poco, or my favorite, there's several that use the Spanish real, which is like the dollar, the big silver dollar, as a measurement. So you would get dos reales of custard, which I don't know if that's the size in your hand or the weight or how much it costs at the market.
Right.
I think what we want to do with the book series is preserve the process, but also be very clear so that if you don't have an aunt to tell you what it is, if you follow the book recipes, it will come out really very delicious. It's called el tanteo. That's what cocineras have. It's el tanteo. To tantear means to try, to attempt, to go for it. And when you go for it, it you will know what it is because you related over time as an apprentice to your mother or to your aunt. So you will know what it is in el tanteo. With these books, we want to capture that. So our books will have stories. I think the main problem that we have is change the North Star for researchers who are interested in South Texas and northern Mexico. By that I mean the North Star for many people when you speak about indigenous Mexican food is Aztecs. The Aztecs, the Mayans, that's a star. But there is a star atop San Antonio and the Rio Grande Valley that's smaller, but it's there, and we want people to see it. The North Star for this region is not the Aztecs, is not the Mayas. Those are not our ancestors. Our ancestors, the Coahuiltecos, the Tapilam and others, they have their own language. We have our own culture. We have our own ingredients, and they've been alive. And now it's a beautiful food. You can see all these Mexican restaurants in Texas. We want to brighten that star so that if you're a researcher out there, or you're an academic, or if you're a student anywhere listening, come to us and study this. It is the new North Star that doesn't take you to Mesoamerica. They travel to us oftentimes, and we travel to them. But our star has been diminished by state policy and by other reasons. But it's back. And this food series needs researchers, if you're an academic or if you're a cook. If you're a cook and you have memories of the grocery store in Laredo or whatnot, and you've been writing things down, come to us. We will pair you with writers or researchers who will be able to tell you, because the stories are there, but we have not had connections to the central powers of publishing. So the stories are there. If you don't think you're a good writer and you're a cocinera and you have a story to tell, come to us. We want those things.
And sort of a side note, I remember we were having a conversation with Ramon Vasquez of the American Indians in Texas, the Spanish colonial missions, just to sort of give an example of what you were just talking about, Adan, that the cuisine here is so much different than it is in Mesoamerica, people associate corn with Mesoamerica. Here, there was no corn.
That's right. I think this will be one of the first books we published. I think I get the manuscript in 3 weeks. That's what I was told. I don't want to give all the details, but the researcher, he's a brilliant scholar in Coahuila, and he studies Texas and Coahuila. And the book is going to be called La Gente del Mezquite, The People of the Mesquite. And his point is, we've had mesquite 9,000 years. Corn arrived only 1,800 years ago. So we were here millennia eating mesquite, processing mesquite. It was a very important symbolic and cultural food product for our people. Corn is the recent one, and that's why we're calling the book La Gente del Mezquite.
Adán Medrano is a chef, author, and filmmaker. He's the editor of a new book series called Indigenous Foodways of South Texas and Northern Mexico. Steph Knoll is a librarian with the University of Texas at San Antonio Libraries Special Collections. The Indigenous Foodway series aims to explore and preserve centuries-old traditions of the peoples who lived in the South Texas and Northern Mexico region long before colonization. The series is a collaboration between the UTSA Libraries Special Collection and Texas Tech University Press. The series is collecting stories, histories, and recipes you can contribute. We have links to the UTSA Libraries Special Collections and to Adán Medrano at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Maria Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.